of Vav Amid Beis, and we're up to Amar Le Rav Papa Le Abaye. And let me just review the last point that we made yesterday. We were talking about a case where you have five different homeowners that share one common courtyard, one chatzer, and they need an Erev Chatzeros. Unfortunately, one of the five homeowners did not participate in the Erev. And status quo, the Erev is now completely nullified because we want to get all five owners, so to speak, of the Chatzer to join in one partnership through the Erev. But if one of the partners refuses to do so, again, our case is not where he refused, he just didn't participate. He forgot about it. So that would nullify and undermine the validity of the Erev. However, the sugya that we're covering now addresses the case where he was mevatel rishus. So we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to understand mevatel rishus, and we said that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about what happens when he says he's mevatel his chatzer, and he, in a sense, relinquishes ownership over the chatzer, so that now the other four house owners can now take over his part in the chatzer, his portion in the chatzer. But that's only viable if he was mevatel his bias as well. So we had one principle yesterday called bi'ayin yofeh hu mevatel, which means that he's very magnanimous, and even though he explicitly only mentioned his chatzer, he meant to include his bias as well. And the other man d'omer says no, He's not mevatel bi'ayin yofeh, and if he says he was mevatel his chatzer, then that's all he was mevatel is his chatzer. We had another case, which the Gemara insists is also dependent upon this machlokes, and that's the case where he was mevatel's reshus vis-a-vis one of the other four homeowners, and not vis-a-vis all five. And that too would undermine the validity of the Erev Chatzeros, unless we apply a principle of Ayin Yofeh, and although he was mevatel his bias to Shimon, he really meant to be mevatel his bias to the entire group, Levi, Yehudi, Yisachar as well, and therefore we could validate this Erev Chatzeros. And that would certainly be true according to Rabbi Eliezer, who maintains that Hamavatel Rishuso Biayin Yofeh Mavatel, whereas the Rabbanu would say no, he has to be Mavatel vis-a-vis every single one of the other house owners. And now we're up to Amale Rav Papa Le'abai. That's where we want to start today. And it's approximately halfway down the Amud. And you'll see the line begins with Chaf Resh Aleph, which is Ki Rabbi Eliezer. So Omar Le Rav Popol Abaye Li Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Shita that when a person's Bevatel Rishus Chatzero, then he includes in that being Bevatel his bias as well, which would mean that you're allowed to take something out of his bias into the chatzer. E. Omar, what happens? This is the question of Rav Papa. If he explicitly declares, lo mevatlina, that I'm not being mevatel my bias, the reshus of my bias, I'm only being mevatel the reshus of my chatzer. In the absence of any statement to the contrary, we assume bi'ayin yofeh, he was mevatel even the reshus of his bias. But in this case, he explicitly excluded his bias. He wants to maintain absolute ownership over his bias. Now, here's the second half of Rav Papa's question. Ula Rabbanan, who hold that if a person is mevatel the reshus of his chotzer, then you're not allowed to carry from his bias, because he's not being mevatel his bias. E Omar, what if he says explicitly mevatelina? I'm being mevatel even the reshus of my bias. My, what's the din in that case? Do we assume in such a case that even the Rabbanan would agree that since he was mevatel explicitly the reshus of his bias, then it's mevatel vis-a-vis the bnei achotzer. Therefore, you'd be allowed to take something out of his house into the into the chotzer. And now Rav Pop explains the two sides in his suffix, in his question that he was vacillating about. First, the one with regard to Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer, as we said, says if he's Mevatel's Chotzer, then we consider it as if he was Mevatel's bias, and you're allowed to take from the house out into the Chotzer. Taima, should we say that the reason why the Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Tekosom Mevatel Rishus Chatzero, is Af Rishus Beso Bitel, they're based on the principle of Be'ayin Yofu Mevatel, so when he was Mevatel, the Rishus of his Chotzer, then he meant, and he indicated that he would be Mevatel the Rishus of his bias as well, even though he didn't explain it explicitly. But high in this case, Sha'omar, he said explicitly, I know lo mevatlina. I'm not being Mevatel the Rishus of my bias. Now it becomes also to be motzi from his bias out to the Chatzer. Not only to him, but even to anyone else, to the other four members of the Chatzer. O Dilma, says Rav Papa, maybe time in the Rabbi Eliezer Mishum de Bais below Chotzel or Avidi Inish de Daire. A person doesn't usually live in a Bais without a Chotzel. Again, you know, we have to understand the sociology back in the time of the Talmud. You know, today a Chotzel is a nice addition, but in those days a Chotzel was in a sense even more important than the Bais. I mean, don't take me literally on that, but what I mean to say is that almost all their activities, they took out of the bias into the chotzer. Yeah, I and my wife and I were once in the East, and that's what we saw. Mamish, there's nothing going on in the house. Everything goes on out in the streets. They eat in the streets, and they sell all these bugs in the streets, and everything is going on outside. The only thing that was inside was Chabad. That was anyway. So now, a person, when he's mevatel his chotzer, then what happens? What's he leaving himself a bias without a chotzer? A person would never leave himself a bias without a chotzer. A person doesn't live in a bias without a chotzer. So when he was mevatel the reshus of his chotzer, then we assume that he had to be mevatel his bias as well. But in this case, what are you going to tell me? Well, you know what? He's not buying Yofa, because he said he doesn't want to be mevatel his bias. Oh no, that's not what we're going to say. Kika amar lo mevatlin alav kol kamini. We're not going to take his words seriously, because he's going against what we know to be true for everybody else. That if you don't have a chotzer, you don't have a bias. A bias without a chotzer is not comfortable. It's not meaningful. That's not the way you live as a resident. Is therefore afal gav the omer dairona, even though he made a statement that I'm going to live in my house without a chotzer, lav klum kom. And this is an application of a universal principle in halacha called batla daito itzel kol adam, meaning that we don't care about some individual quirk of a person who comes up with something that defies or contradicts what we know to be human behavior and human psychology. So we know that in the psychology of the Talmud, in that sociological context, if you give up on your chotzer, you give up on your bias, because a bias without a chotzer is not dira. That's not called comfortable dira. And in that context, the Rav Pop wants to suggest that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if he makes the declaration that I'm not being mevatel my bias, we don't take that seriously. That's batla daita so kol adam. You have mevatel your chotzer, so what do you want to have a dira and a bias without a chotzer? Now we get to the Rabbanon to explain Rav Papa's sofek according to the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon hold that if you mevatel your chotzer, then you're not mevatel your bias. And they're willing to accept that a person would live in his bias without a chotzer. Iomar mevatlina, but if he made a statement that he's being mevatel rishus of his bias, my, should we say time of the rabbanim mishum de kasari mevatel rishus chotzer rishus beiso lo bitel, which is the opposite of ayin yofa, that since he made a declaration that I'm being mevatel rishus of my chotzer, so he's not being mevatel rishus of his bayis. But hi, in this particular case, the scenario of Rav Papa is since Omar ben Vatlina, he said explicitly that he's being mevatel rishus of his bayis, not just the rishus of his chotzer, is therefore we could be matir chotzer from the bayis to the chotzer. Or Dilma, shall we say the following time, the Rabbanon, the underlying logic of the Rabbanon is mishum de lo ovid inish de mesalik nafshe. Legamre, mi bias vechotzer, a person is not so magnanimous that he wants to give up his ownership rights over both the bias and the chotzer. I mean, that's going really far. And vahaviki oreach legabayu, and now he becomes a guest in his own house. People don't want to be a guest in their own house. And therefore, hi, when this person, ki omer v'fatlina, when he made the statement, the declaration that he wants to get rid of his rishus of his bayis, lav kol kamini, we're not going to give him the authority to do so. And again, we're going to apply the principle of batla daita etzel kol adam. The rishus of his bayis is not batla, because then he'd be left with nothing. And nobody wants to be left with nothing. And therefore, you would not be allowed to take from the house out into the chotzer. Amalei, so Abaye responds to Rav Papa, and he says, "Bein l'Rabbanan, bein l'Rabbi Elezer, came to the goli daite goli." In other words, Abaye accepted the first interpretation of Rav Papa, that the machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Elezer revolves around the issue of ayin yofer, or the opposite of ayin yofer. Here, He explicitly revealed his intention, and he wants to be mevatel, and we're going to take his statement and his proclamation very seriously, and the machlokas shin Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim only applies in that situation where there was no explicit declaration, and the debate revolves around whether we can extend his statement, his verbal statement, to include other situations or not. Now, once the Gemara quotes our Mishnah, and Rabbi Loi brings us various statements in our Mishnah, so the Gemara tells us about another statement which is relevant to the night of Pesach, the Seder, also attributed to Rabbi Eloi. B'chein shamati bimenu, Rabbi Eloi testifies that he heard from Rabbi Eliezer, sheyotzim be'ar kabbalin b'pesach, that for the mitzvah of morar, you can use something called arkablin. My arkablin. Gemara wants to know, what is this thing called arkablin? That's an Aramaic word, we're not familiar with it. Omar Rav Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish gives us its translation into more simple Aramaic, which we don't understand either. So that doesn't help us much. And it's called Atzavsa Charuziosa, which in the Hebrew translation is Siv Oveh Hagodel Sviv Hadekel. So you have some sort of almost like a branch that circles around the trunk of a date tree, a palm tree, and it goes round and round and round up the palm tree. And if you eat it, it has a very bitter taste. So he says that this is entwined vines that grow around the trunk of a date tree. Sahajan Alecha Perek Osin Pas. So that's the second parak. So we've now, Be'ezer Hashem, completed the first and the second prakim. I'm teaching also now the third parak, but I've done the fourth parak, and now I'm halfway through the fifth parak. So we'll pick up in Be'ezer Hashem the sixth parak, and that's on page Samach Aleph on Be'ezer. I'll give you a little bit of an introduction to the sixth parak, which is called Parak Hadar. And, you know, back at the time of Chazal, we have said over and over again that many different houses would pour into a common courtyard that was in a partnership for all these different B'nai HaChotzer. And those, that was one chatzer, and then there was another chatzer, which had another group of houses, and the two chatzeros opened up into a mavui, and now the mavui, which now is common to both chatzeros, opens up into a reshus harab. So let's just review. I have here a pretty basic review of what we know, but what we have to know for this perek. According to the Torah law, you're not allowed to carry from a reshus harabim 4 amos. You can't pick it up here at the beginning of 4 amos and put it down 4 amos later. Also, you're not allowed to take from a private domain, a reshus hayachid, which means a bayis or a chotzer that's surrounded by 4 mechitzos, or even a mavui that has 3 mechitzos, and take it out into reshus harabim, because any area that's surrounded by mechitzos has the status of reshus hayachid, and you can't take out any object into reshus harabim. And the reverse is likewise true. You can't take something from reshus harabim and bring it into a reshus hayachid. However, you're allowed to carry something from a mavui into a chotzer, and from a chotzer into a bayis, because all the above are reshus hayochid. However, that's on a biblical level, according to the Torah law, but the Chazal instituted a gzera, and they prohibited carrying in a mavui until you put up a lechi or a korah. They also prohibited carrying from a house into a chotzer, or from a chotzer into a mavui, or the other way around, unless the chotzer establishes an eruv chotzer. So the mavui establishes a shituf muvos, and the reason why the Rabbanon insisted on an eruv is because they were afraid that someone might come to carry from reshus hayochid into reshus harabim, because he doesn't realize that the chotzer has the technical legal status of reshus hayochid. He identifies that as reshus harabim because there's so many people have access and use of that chotzer. Or in the case of a mavui, it's even more accessible to more people. Now, the chachamim allowed, as we said before, to carry from the batim one bais to the other, or the bais into the chotzer, through an eruv chatzeros. And they allowed carrying from a chotzer into a mavui through shituf mavos. And the eruv chatzeros, so the shituf mavos, is accomplished through a participation, almost like a partnership, amongst the various homeowners and the bnei chatzeros, with something that's edible, a dover machel, and it's left in a certain place, and through this eruv, it's considered as if they all live together in one place, and we don't have separate diurim. And since we don't have separate diurim, then you know it looks like there's like one owner. Now, the parak that we're about to embark upon is going to clarify when do we consider it diurim mechulakim, and if you're not allowed to carry from a chotzer to a mavui without an eruv or a shituf, and when is it considered that it's like one dira and you don't even need an eruv. So these are different details and dinim that apply to eruv and shituf. Now, if a representation of the Bnei Chotzer or the Bnei Movi does not participate in the Eruv or the Shituv, they can prevent everyone else who shares that same Chotzer, that same use of the same Movi, they prevent them from carrying from the Chotzer or into the Movi, or let's start simple, from the Bayis into the Chotzer. And there's something called Bitul Rishus, which is the last sugya that we touched in the second perek. And one of the Bnei HaChotzer, or the Bnei HaMavui, is Mavatel his Rishus Tacherim. And by giving over his Rishus to the others, he no longer generates an Iser of Tiltel as far as the Acherim is concerned. So those who weren't actively participants in the Erev, they should be mevatel the reshus of the chotzer, or the reshus they have in the mavui for those who are part of the Erev, and then the Erev is valid, and that would allow people to carry. And if, let's say, they didn't participate in the Erev Chatzeres at all, if let's say there was no Erev Chatzeres at all, is there a possibility of being matir carrying from a bias into a chutz? The answer is yes. And that would require the following, that all the members of that chutz, or all the house owners, except for one obviously, would be mevatel their reshus vis-a-vis one particular person. Mind you, that would not allow, let's say if you had five honos, if four out of the five were mevatel reshus to, let's call them Yisachar, that doesn't mean that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are allowed to carry from their homes respectively into the chatzer. That for that you need an erev chatzeros. But it means that Yisachar, we'll call him number five, he would be allowed to carry from his house into the chatzer, as from his chatzer into the mavui. And now what Yisachar could do to help the other gentlemen homeowners in that share the same chatzer is he could do what's called schirus. He could rent out his house and his reshus to the other four people. And that's going to be the subject of this chapter in Masechta Erev. So without further ado, let's learn the Mishnah. Hadar im ha'ove kochavim b'chotzeh. What happens if you have two homeowners that share a chotzeh? One is Jewish and the other is not Jewish. Does the non-Jewish homeowner undermine the possibility of setting up an Eruv? Oh, here's another opportunity for the same question to arise. If Misha eino moda b'Eruv, if one of the homeowners in that same chatzer is what's called a kusi, and the kusim were not accepted as part of the Jewish people, they accepted only Torah Shebichsav, they rejected the oral law, Torah Shebal Peh, and they certainly rejected the laws of Erevin. So as far as they're concerned, the Torah that they accepted, that they're committed to, has nothing to do with Erevin. Is Hareza Oser Olav. In the two cases that we mentioned, either A, where one of the homeowners is a guy, or number two, one of the homeowners is a kusi, who's called an Edom Oda B'Eruv, then that generates an Iser on the Yisrael. He's not allowed to take anything from his house into the chatzer, or from his chatzer back into his house. Why? Because the Nachri, or the kusi, has shutfus, has partnership rights to the chatzer, and that generates an Iser Otzah, and the Eruv is never valid unless it connects together and integrates all the members of that chatzer. And you might ask, well, perhaps the goy could be part of the Eruv? Nay, the goy can't be part of the Eruv. Perhaps the goy could be mevatel his reshus. That's also not going to be valid. And instead, we're going to jack up the requirement. Ad sheyiskar Yisrael me'anochris reshus habachotzer. The Jew has to pay rental fees, if the goy will agree to do so, to gain rights in the chatzer, meaning to take over the guy's legal rights to use the chatzer. Those legal rights are now being transferred over to the Yisrael. And it's only through this schirus method of a rental agreement that the guy, in effect, could be mevatel his reshus. He can't just make a declaration, I'm being mevatel my reshus, but rather he can enter into a contractual agreement in which he rents out his chatzer and the reshus that he has to use the chatzer to the Yisrael. And again, this could apply in a situation where there's one Jew living with a guy or with a kusi in one chatzer. And again, you know, an erev chatzeres just won't cut the mustard. Bitter rishus likewise would not be sufficient. The only possibility would be that the Jew would rent ownership rights in the chutz, and then, and only then, would the Jew be allowed to carry from his house into the chutz. Okay, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he has a different shita, and he says li olam eino oser. The ownership of the guy, the ownership of the guy or the kusi, does not generate an iser on the Jew who shares that same chatzer. If there's only one Jew and one guy, unless sheyu shnei Yisraelim. If you have the following, there are three homeowners that share the same chatzah. Two of them are Jews, and one of them is a non-Jew. And since with regard to the two Jews, Osrim Zalzeh, let's say there was no guy, it was just two Jews, then they would not be allowed to carry from their home into the chatzah without an eruv. And since there are two Jews residing in a chatzah, I mean they share the same chatzah, then they must have an eruv. Now the problem is, how do you set up an eruv when the third household owner is a guy? There's no possibility of setting up such an eruv. So the only fallback position would be that the guy would rent out his rishus. So the machlokas now between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov revolves around the case where there's one Jew and one guy. Rabbi Meir holds that in order to allow the Jew to carry out into the chatzah, he would have to rent the rights of the guy, from the guy, in the chatzah. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, there's no need to do so. And we'll try to figure out why, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he has a principle which the Gemara is going to formulate later on called Diras Nachri Eino Seris Klal. That somehow, magically, at least in the laws of Erev, in the Dira of a guy is not called Dira. The halacha doesn't recognize that as a Dira. But only in a case where you must have an Erev Chatzeros, the Erev Chatzeros is not going to be valid and viable without every single member of the Chatzer joining together in that Erev. And when you said every member of the Chatzer, we include even the guy. So once I get into the need for an Eruv, then according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I cannot have an Eruv, I only can have Schirus if there's a guy who's the third homeowner in this chatzah. Okay. Now, if we go like Rabbi Meir, then again, just to summarize, Nachri v'kusi osrim al b'nei chatzah, Lahotzi v'bateim l'chotzer. And Eruv or Bittul Rishus is not going to be meaningful to be matir unless the Jew rents out the Rishus of the Nachri. And there's somebody besides a Kusi, which I'll mention here, another category of Jewish people who deny Torah Shebal Peh, they're not Modu B'Eruv, and that's called a Tztuki. Again, the name Tztuki, which in English is called Sadducees, is derived from the Talmidim of someone by the name of Tzadok, and the Baitusim from someone by the name of Baitus. These were two great scholars, and the students misunderstood their Rebbe, and as a result, they came to deny Torah Shebaal Peh. I only mention this because I want to introduce the next part of the Mishnah. Omar Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says that a tzduki, although he denies Torah Shebaal Peh, and later in history they became the Karoim, if you remember that, the tzduki is not the same as a Nachri, says Rabban Gamliel. And what we're going to allow and recognize as valid in the case of a tzduki is what's called bittul reshus, which means you don't need schirus. All you need is a declaration on the part of the tzduki that I am being mevata my reshus to the Yisrael, and then the Yisrael is allowed to carry out into the chatz. Maisa b'tzduki echad shahayadar imanu b'mavui b'Yerushalayim. So we shared a mavui with a tzduki. The Amar lanu Abba, and our father said to us, and I'm not sure who is Abba here in this case. Let me just... I left it in the other room. Anyway, I'm assuming that that Abba... okay, I'm sorry, I blanked out who Abba is. Okay, Maharu Votziu Es HaKelim Limavui. He said, quickly take out the vessels to the Mavui immediately after the onset of Shabbos, so that now you can create a chazakah on this Mavui, that your Kalim are now Shoves, they are resting in this Mavui. Achalo Yotzi, and make sure you do this before this Stuki goes out, the Yesar Alechem, and he's going to enjoy, what word shall I use, benefit from this Mavui, V'yesar Aleichem, and he will generate an Iser Hanna, an Iser Otsa, by enjoying the benefits of this Mavui. Now, it seems that Rabban Gamliel understood from this story, and the question is how he understood this, that the whole issue revolved around bittul reshus, and a nachri, if he's mevatel his reshus to the other bnei achotzer, but then he goes out and he uses and he enjoys the benefit of that chotzer. So what happened was, although he was mevatel his rishus, now he's going back and he's going to make a chazok on his rishus. And once again, that's going to generate an iser on the Yisraelim. They won't be able to carry from their homes into the chotzer. So therefore he told them that they should go out into the chotzer before the nachri and then they would make a chazaka in the chotzer, and once the guy would be mevatel his rishus, he can no longer make a chazaka because they already made that chazaka. And how does Rabbi Gamliel know that this was bittul rishus? Maybe this was schirus. The Ein Lomar, he says, Shehoisa Zuz Chirus, Shehiskir Lahemis Rishuso. it does make sense to assume that the guy in this case had rented out the chatzer, or his rights to the chatzer, and now we have to be careful and be suspicious that maybe he'll be mevatel l'schirus by taking out things into the chatzer, because as far as schirus is concerned, he doesn't have the power, he doesn't have the legal authority to be chozer and to reestablish and acquire ownership on that which he rented out. Why? Because they paid him money, and there was a legal transaction in which he rented out his rights to the chatzer to the Jew. Now, how do we see from this story that Stuki eino kinochri? And in the case of Stuki, he could be mavatil his rishus and be matir the other members of the chatzer, the Jews, to carry from their homes into the chatzer. So apparently, the fact that the ruling was go out there real quickly and use the chatzer, that was not based on schirus, because as we said before, schirus is legally binding, so it doesn't matter who gets there first. Once the contract was signed and the guy got payment for use of the chatzer, that's eino chozer, but it doesn't matter who gets there first. It's a binding agreement. So we're talking about bittul rishus, and in the case of bittul rishus, which is not a legal transaction, so now we have to know whether or not we can make a chazaka first. But we know that in the case of a nochri, bittul rishus doesn't work. It doesn't operate. The only thing that operates in the case of a nochri is schirus, and we're not talking about schirus as we discussed earlier. So by process of elimination, we must be addressing a case of bittul rishus, and what kind of a guy could be mevatel rishus? I mean, the assumption was that the guy cannot be mevatel rishus. It's not a legal kinyan. And the answer has to be that we're talking about tzduki. And since we're talking about tzduki, there is a valid method of, so to speak, removing the tzduki from undermining the eruv, and that's through bittul rishus. But we always have to be worried that maybe even before we get a chance to use the chatzer or the mavui, the tzduki is going to change his mind, and he's going to grab the opportunity and use the chatzer, which would be mevatel his bittul. So therefore, we have to get there first. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'loshan acher. He says that the father of Gamliel said it a little bit differently, and he said the following: Maru v'yasu tzarchechem b'mavui ad shelo yotzi v'yeser aleichem. Go out quickly while it's still daylight, because according to the first version of Rav Gamliel, the story was that the father of Rav Gamliel instructed them to go out after the onset of Shabbos into the Mavui and set up the Kelim there. According to Rabbi Yehuda's version of the story, he was telling them Maru very quickly on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, and make sure that you bring out your utensils to the Mavui, because according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, if they'll make a chazak on this Mavui first, it doesn't matter whether they did that on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos, then when the tzduki will go out from his bias and enjoy the benefit of the chatzer, or in this case the Mavui, then he could be chozer umachzik birshuso. Since it was only a bit of rishus, then he could be mevatel rishus, and then we won't be able to take any kelim out to the mavui. So what we have to do is take the kelim out to the mavui before Shabbos. And that is the Mishnah. And with that, we turn to Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, and we start the Gemara. Now, by way of introduction to this Gemara, we said in the Mishnah that if somebody lives with a guy in a chatzer or with someone else who's a kusi and he's not modeh be'eruv, then according to Rabbi Meir, that generates an iser on the Jew who lives in that same chatzer to carry out into the chatzer. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that's not so, unless there are two Jews and a third member of the chatzer who's a guy. So the Gemara now wants to explain Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama, and also to explain Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov why he rejects the Tanakhama. Yosef Abaye bar Ovin, v'Rav Chinina bar Ovin, the Yosef Abaye Gabayu. So we have Abaye bar Ovin, we have Rav Chinina bar Ovin, and we have Abaye. They're all together here. The Yosvi v'Ka'amri, and now they're asking Abaye. I'm sorry, Abaye bar Ovin and Rav Chinina bar Ovin are asking Abaye. Bishleima, I understand Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama Van Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, who says that Enochri is Oser, even if there's only one Jew sharing that chotze, Kosovar, Diras, Oved, Kol Chavim, Shma Dira. As far as Eruv Chatzeris is concerned, the halacha recognizes the residence of a goy as a valid residence, and he has the same rights to the chatzah that the Jew has. And therefore, lo shna chad, lo shna trei. It doesn't matter whether there's one Jew who's using that chatzah, living in that chatzah, or two Jews. Ela, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, my kasava. What is his opinion? If he agrees to Rabbi Meir that Dira Solviko Chom Shmei Dira, and Allah recognizes and validates the Dira of a guy, is Afilu Chad Nami Nitzar, we will have to figure out how to solve the problem, even if there's only one Jewish homeowner living in that chotzer. But if on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that Dira Solviko Chomim Lo Shma Dira, it doesn't have the status of a dira, is then afilu trei nami lo nitzar. So that even if he has two Jews that live in that chotzer and they share a common chotzer, then there should be no problem with the guy because diras ove kochavim lav shmei dira. Omaluhu Abaye. So Abaye tries to explain Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. V'savar, are you going to tell me that Rabbi Meir holds that diras ovi kochavim shma dira? That the reason why, even in the case where the guy is sharing the chutz with only one Jewish homeowner, we still have the principle that the guy's ownership in the chutzer generates an iser on the Yisrael. And that's because diras ovi kochavim shma dira v'asanya. What are we going to do with the brisa? And the brisa says chatzero shel ovi kochavim harehu kidir shel behema. That the ownership of a guy in a chatzer is the same as a deer shel behema, a corral of an animal. Which means that k'shem she'ein lebehemos kol zchus bechotze. You're not going to tell me that if an animal roams through some sort of a courtyard or a corral, that therefore his owner, the animal, a behemos in feminine, that she has ownership rights over the chotze. Right? So we're not going to say that, you know, I can't carry into the chotze because this chatzer is occupied or is visited by animals, and ye also lahotzi lahachnis me'abatim lechatzer me'achatzer lebatim, that as a result of the fact that the animals are roaming through this chatzer, therefore I can't carry into the chatzer. I mean, the animals don't have any ownership rights in the chatzer. And the same thing, says Rabbi Meir, by process of analogy, applies to a non-Jew. So how can you tell me that, according to Rabbi Meir, diras Diras Nochri, Diras Akum, Shmei Dira, you see clearly from this brisa that Rabbi Meir is committed to the position that Diras Akum Lav Shmei Dira. And he compares it to that of a Dira Shel Behema. Ella says, Abai, no. Kuli Amma, everybody agrees, Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbi Loz Ben Yaakov, that Diras Obikacham Lo Shma Dira. And therefore, the guy, even though he has rights to the chotzer, he doesn't generate any iser on the Yisraelim who share that chotzer with him, that they're not allowed to carry from their houses into the chotzer. And again, this doesn't make any difference whether or not there's one Jewish homeowner or two Jewish homeowners. V'hacha, but what's the issue here about which we have a machlokes is b'gzera. With regard to Gzera Shema Yilmad Mimasov Kamiflagi. Now, in order to appreciate this Gemara, let me just mention the last section in Masechta Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah establishes many different Gzeros, the purpose of which was to separate us from the Goyim, that we shouldn't get too close to them. For example, we're not allowed to drink their wine, and we're not allowed to have them cook for us. And the Gemara actually has, in the earliest stages, an isa to eat their breads or their oil. I mean, the whole slew of gzeros, you know. We're not allowed to be together with them in a private place. One Jew with one guy. Anyway, this is all called Mishum Chasnus. Chasnus means so that we wouldn't intermarry with the guy. And what our sugi is going to establish is that, believe it or not, the laws of Erevin were also on board. And they were also used as another method of separating the goyim from the Jews, that they shouldn't have too much interaction. I mean, I don't have to tell you, you know, in our society today, how much interaction there is and how much assimilation there is. So this is called a gzera, Shema Yilmad Mimasov, that the Rabbanon, in order to separate the Jews from the non-Jews, is called Miflagi. This is going to be the Machlokas. Meaning, everybody agrees that the Chachamim wanted to prevent a situation where the Yisrael would be living together with a guy and sharing one courtyard. I mean, that's a little bit too close for comfort. And again, the language of the Gemara is Shema Yilmad Mimasov. So the Gemara is not employing that word chasnus of marriage, which it employs at the end of Avodah Zarah, because otherwise, why didn't this sugi of Erevin show up at the end of Avodah Zarah? So apparently, there's a slightly different twist over here, a different perspective, and that's called Shema Yilmad Mimasov. So they made Gzera. And they enacted that a guy will generate an iser on a Yisrael, that the Yisrael will not be allowed on Shabbos to carry from his house out to the chotzer. And that's, you know, that's going to be an uncomfortable situation. Again, there is one solution, as we said before, he can rent out the chotzer from the guy and sign a contractual rental agreement, but that's, you know, that's also very difficult, and why is the guy going to agree to sign such a contract? So therefore, maybe this is going to discourage the Jews from sharing such close quarters with the guy. And he should set up his dira b'makom acher. So very uncomfortable when you can't carry from your bais into the chotzer. You know, that's why today in contemporary life, there's an Eruv in almost every Jewish city because people want to be able to carry on Shabbos. And, the young people want to roll their strollers with the babies on Shabbos. So it's very important to get an Eruv. Today, if you want to set up a new neighborhood for religious Jews almost anywhere in the world, the first thing you have to do is make sure there's an Eruv there, because young people are not going to move in to a neighborhood where they can't roll their baby carriages on Shabbos. I mean, imagine being cooped up all of Shabbos and you can't take your baby out for a breath of air because there's no Eruv. So this is going to discourage Jewish people from buying in such close proximity within a courtyard of Goyim. Again, this is all a picture of what life would have been like in a shtetl, in a religious community. And today, Jews are never so far, so weit from Yiddishkeit that they don't hesitate buying in a non-Jewish neighborhood. Maybe the non-Jews are not too happy about them buying in close quarters. So now we get to the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. There's a principle in Gzeira that Milsalo Shchicha lo Gazu be Rabbana. The Rabbanan are not going to institute enactments and Gzeros when the situation is going to be very rare. And according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's very rare that one single Jewish family would live in a goyish chotzer, would share a chotzer with a goy. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, so it came at the Ove Kochovim Choshe Ashvichas Domim, Tre Shrichi the Diary. Why is it that it's rare for a single Jewish family to move into a chotzer of goyim? And the answer is that the Jews are afraid for their lives. Now, once again, Jewish history will bear this out. Goyim, my father told me in his shtetl, I'm talking about my father, I'm not going back to my grandfather. My father told me that in his shtetl, if a guy decided to kill a Jew, less din v'less dayan. There was no recourse. My father used to say about his shtetl that if it was Sunday, it was Poland. It was Monday, it was Lithuania. And if it was Tuesday, it was Russia. I mean, it was just mass anarchy. Now, I hope Chas Shalom America won't come to this, where they could start shooting Jews. I don't know. It's a lot of different things are going on today in America. But in any event, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov lays down the following premise, that normally a Jew would be afraid to be the only Jew in a chotzer, and surrounded by non-Jews that might decide to take his life in close proximity. We know Jews who came, I don't have to tell you this, they came back to their houses after the Holocaust, and the goyim told them, we'll shoot you in the brains. They had no compunctions. So this was the danger. And therefore, it's so rare that one Jew would find himself in a chatzer of goyim that the Rabbanan never even instituted this gzera. Because again, that rule that we said before, milsalo shtichalo gazu be Rabbanan. But for two Jewish families to move in where there's a third family that's a goy, That would happen. That was 10%, 20%. It happened. And the Rabbanan had to try to discourage this. So they said, you should know, buddy, Rabbi Yid, you're not going to be allowed to carry from your bais into the chotzer unless you want to pay a rental fee to the goy on a weekly basis. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Zimnin de Mikri v'dairi, it does happen, admittedly not so commonly, that a Jew would move into a chotzer of a goy, and there's only one Jewish family, and therefore we have to extend the gzera. Even in this case, v'yomer rabbanon ein eruv moil b'makom ovei kochavim, right, despite the fact that diras ovei kochavim lo shmei dira, but we're going to invalidate the eruv, We're going to make it very inconvenient for the Jews who move into these chatzeros. Ein bitter reshus moel b'makom ovi kochavim, and the guy can't even be mevater reshus. And the only way you could allow yourself as a Jew to carry into reshus harabim is achiyaskir ovi kochavim, until the guy will be willing to sign a rental agreement with the Jew, giving up, transferring over his monetary rights to use the chatzer. And in general, v'yovei kochavim lo mogir, the goyim are not going to be very excited about this, because that means on Shabbos they won't be able to use the chatzer because they rented it out to the Jew. And as we said before, it's very critical to use your chatzer. This is going to be very difficult for, make a situation very difficult for a Jew to move in with a goy. Okay, Rabbosai, so we'll stop here. And in Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow will be on Daf Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, and we'll start with my timer.